I would like to introduce our first speaker, Justine Kimball. Justine is a senior scientist with the Ocean Protection Council, or OPC, with the California Natural Resources Agency. She's OPC's climate change program, which focuses on ocean acidification, sea level rise, coastal resiliency, and other issues related to the impacts of climate change to California's ocean and coast. Prior to joining OPC, Justine spent 5 years in Washington, D.C. at NOAA's Coral Program as a Canals Fellow at the Office of the Oceanographer of the Navy. Justine earned her PhD from Stanford University, studying deep sea corals in the Pacific Ocean, and her BA in biology with a major in geology from the University of California, Santa Barbara. Justine, take it away.
Great. Thanks for having me. As introduced, I'm Justine Kimball, and I'm with California's Ocean Protection Council, and I'll be talking to you today about ocean and coastal acidification legislation, policy, and actions in California. If I advance the slide, there we go. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Ocean Protection Council, or OPC, we are nested within California's Natural Resources Agency. We are a cabinet-level office, and our executive director, Dr. Mark Gold, serves as Deputy Secretary for Ocean and Coastal Policy. We were created by legislation to be the advisor to the governor and legislature on ocean and coastal issues. And as our name implies, we are governed by a council. These are our 7 members from state agencies, the legislature, and the public. All of our work, priorities, and funding goes through them. This is the legislation that created OPC, the California Ocean Protection Act. Sets our mission to ensure healthy, resilient, and productive ocean and coastal ecosystems for the benefit of current and future generations. Science and the use of best available science is central to our mission and everything that we do. And we do our work through developing policy guidance and documents, funding and promoting science in all aspects of management and decision making. Partnerships, OPC doesn't actually have any management or regulatory authority, so we work hand in hand with our agency partners, such as the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the State Water Resources Control Board, the Coastal Commission, state parks, among other state agency partners. And then funding, we have funding through a variety of sources to support our work. So because of this mission and the recognition that ocean acidification poses a serious threat to our coastal and ocean resources, OPC has been increasingly involved in OA-related efforts over the last decade. We supported the West Coast Science Panel. We were founding members of the International OA Alliance, among many other actions. For the purposes of this talk, I'm going to highlight a few milestones. First, some key legislation that was passed in 2016. So first, not specifically OA related, but I wanted to highlight this legislation in recognition that the only real long-term solution to ocean acidification is decreasing carbon emissions. California is a leader on this, and we've passed landmark legislation in 2006 and 2016 to significantly decrease all our sources of greenhouse gas emissions. In this vein, all of the work that we do on OA and the science that comes out, we try to message that to further strengthen the case to limit greenhouse gas emissions so as to better protect our marine ecosystems from all the impacts of climate change, including ocean acidification. Now for 2 pieces of legislation that were passed also in 2016, specifically related to OA. SB 1363 created the Ocean Acidification and Hypoxia Reduction Program within OPC. It focuses on research, restoration, and conservation of submerged aquatic vegetation, particularly seagrass. As a result of this legislation, we funded demonstration projects related to the quantification of the ability of seagrasses to buffer OA and store carbon. We're now looking to compile and synthesize this research along with other studies to create sort of standardized accounting methodology related to OA and carbon dynamics in wetlands and seagrasses that we can use to inform efforts going forward. And then AB 2139 is the other, I couldn't find a better picture. This legislation directs OPC to establish an ocean acidification and hypoxia science task force to provide advice and recommendations for further actions that may be taken to address ocean acidification and hypoxia in California and along the West Coast. So we convened the task force in 2018. Here are our members. We are very fortunate to have such a dedicated group of experts devoting some of their time to this effort, and we're very thankful for that. They focus on various topics of priority to OPC and just generally are experts who advise us and we turn to for guidance. Currently, they're conducting a gaps analysis on monitoring efforts to support California's state needs. They're considering monitoring already occurring and then prioritizing gaps in monitoring needs from that. So they're in the process of finalizing this report and it'll be shared publicly this summer. And this is an example of the sort of support that allows us to be more confident in the priorities and the projects that we pursue. So that's all the legislation I'm going to cover. I'm going to now focus on some of the policy documents that we have that are governing our priorities and efforts now and going forward. Our next big milestone was in late 2018 when our council adopted the California Ocean Acidification Action Plan. The action plan is a 10-year vision designed for integration into public agency operations. It was developed with input from over 60 experts and our science task force. As I mentioned, it was released in late 2018. And we're in implementation phase now, which I will discuss more. I'm not going to cover everything that's in the action plan because there's a lot. Beyond introducing the six themes that structure it, which are prepare for the full range of OA risks and impacts, activate responsible elements of state government, reduce the pollution that causes OA, deploy living systems to slow OA and store carbon, build resilience with affected communities, industries, and interests, and engage beyond state boundaries. And then we have much supporting information and actions and goals within each of those themes. So you can Google the action plan and it's freely available on our website. It's a really ambitious plan and I was excited to come aboard in this position when it was recently adopted. But it's also sort of so comprehensive that I was having a hard time envisioning what implementation looked like. So luckily, we adopted a strategic plan just a few weeks ago. And in that, we've been able to fine-tune our priorities around OA and create actionable targets supported by the goals and the information within the OA action plan. So our strategic plan, as I mentioned, was adopted in late February. The first goal is around safeguarding our coastal and marine ecosystems in the face of climate change. And the second objective in that section is minimize causes and impacts of ocean acidification. The first objective is around sea level rise. So I'm going to spend the rest of my time introducing the OA-related targets, projects, and science that we've already funded in this objective, and then any next steps that we have planned within it. So our first target related to OA is target 1.2.1, which is based on the latest scientific research, advanced adoption of regulations as needed, establishing water quality criteria for OAH by 2025, with the scientific analysis of the relationship between nutrients and OAH impacts completed by 2022. This target closely follows the work that OPC has already invested in to build a state-of-the-art coupled physical and biogeochemical and lower ecosystem model for the California Current. This mechanistic numerical model is needed to disentangle OAH natural variability, such as upwelling, from global climate and from the anthropogenic nutrient inputs that we're interested in here. So we can ask and answer the question, do nutrient inputs have an effect on OAH beyond what is expected with natural variability such as upwelling and from global climate change? We can then separate and try to find this distinct signal from nutrient inputs on ocean acidification and hypoxia values. So preliminary results from the Southern California Bight, which is just the portion of Southern California from Point Conception north of Santa Barbara down to San Diego, we focused in on that area, have demonstrated that additional nutrient inputs from wastewater treatment plants do stimulate nearshore primary production, acidification, and deoxygenation relative to an ocean-only forcing scenario. But further work really is still needed to better characterize and attribute those impacts. And then additionally, we need the biological linkage piece. What effect does this additional signal that we might see from nutrient inputs have on the biology? So we're mostly focused on species level at the moment because that's where the science seems to be at, but population, community, food web, and ecosystem impacts are all needed as well. So we're committed to continuing this work through supporting additional scenarios and understanding of that biological linkage piece. And then this information can be provided to the State Water Resources Control Board to support their regulatory decision-making process going forward. Target 1.2.4 is to work with partners and make targeted investments to support the development of an ocean acidification and a hypoxia monitoring and observation system optimized to deliver decision-relevant information that serves user needs by 2023. So this target comes directly from our OA action plan, recognizing that what we currently have is sort of a patchwork of assets and data streams and reporting in California, not a coordinated network that's analyzing and synthesizing this information for particular state needs. So previously, we've supported, along with our partners, an inventory of ocean acidification and hypoxia data sets from British Columbia to Baja, which is a really helpful start, but it doesn't get us to where we want in terms of analysis, synthesis, and reporting. So as I mentioned earlier, the Ocean Acidification and Hypoxia Science Task Force is conducting a gaps analysis to prioritize monitoring information that meets knowledge gaps and needs for California, given the particular needs that we've identified. So this will inform what elements of the network should look like, but there's still another big step to coordinate all those pieces and define what a useful network is to us and our agency partners in the policy management and regulatory world. I see this target as a big lift in the next 3 years, and we'll take a lot of effort on the side of the state to refine and be really specific about what our monitoring needs are and in what form that information can best be used and applied by us. And then hopefully effort from our scientific community partners and others to better align ongoing efforts and future efforts with those needs. Target 1.2.4, again, it's part two of the previous target because it also comes directly from the OA action plan. It also overlaps a bit with the first target I mentioned and the need for a better understanding of the biological vulnerability and thresholds. In the previous case, we were applying that to the impacts of nutrient input. But in general, we recognize the need for a better understanding of biological vulnerability and thresholds for multiple and variety of purposes. Particularly, it's also critical to support socioeconomic research and then raise the alarm and message at what's at stake for us. So in some cases, we might have options for adaptation or mitigation as well, depending on the species and depending on what the predicted impacts would be for that. Target 3.1.4 is to work with partners to preserve the existing known 15,000 acres of seagrass beds and create an additional 1,000 acres by 2023. If this follows the seagrass legislation that I mentioned previously and our demonstration projects that we funded towards seagrass and quantifying associated carbonate chemistry and carbon storage potential for seagrass in different environments and different geographies. So as I mentioned, we're interested in synthesizing all these research findings that are out there related to carbon storage and carbonate chemistry potential of submerged aquatic vegetation. Regardless of what those findings and results say, though, we see preservation and conservation, restoration of seagrass beds as a win-win for their multi-benefits. And then target 3.6.1 is to create an annual California State of the Coast and Ocean report starting in 2021 and a report card by 2025, utilizing a scientific indicator-based approach to grading the state of California's coast and ocean. This target is going to be another big lift for us, and OA is just one piece of it. We've heard from our council that they want to see a high-level report or dashboard that tracks the condition of California's coast and ocean. So we've committed to a report in 2021 and then a full indicator-based report card in 2025. So again, there's overlap here with the monitoring network target because this will be a state need and we'll need that consistent data analysis and synthesis and reporting to track and update any OA-related indicators that are developed. I don't know any other way besides monitoring, besides having a monitoring network to track and update indicators. So we're going to have to link those two efforts. And then hopefully it goes without saying that we hope to align with the ongoing work of partners and then along the West Coast regionally to develop and report on indicators. And then finally, just to loop back to our commitment and belief that our efforts and findings be messaged at all levels. In 2016, we were founding members of the International OA Alliance. The development of our OA action plan advances the goals of the OA Alliance, and we continue to support its great work across partners and borders to highlight the threat of OA to coastal economies and ocean ecosystems. And so with that, that is all I had. Thank you again.
Thank you, Justine. Oh, thank you so much. Excellent.